Tan han yamanan abivikshaguyakan. Anagashaschitradatena bhurishaha. Othanapadim kripaya patamaho. Manur jagado pagata sahasribi. When Svayambhuva Manu saw that his grandson Dhruva Maharaj was killing so many yakshas who were not actually offenders, out of his great compassion he approached Dhruva with great sages to give him good instructions. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Dhruva Maharaj attacked Alakpuri, the city of the Yakshas, because his brother was killed by one of them. Actually, only one of the citizens, not all of them, was guilty of killing his brother, Uttama. Dhruva Maharaj, of course, took a very serious step when his brother was killed by the Yakshas. War was declared, and the fighting was going on. This sometimes happens in the present days also. For one man's fault, a whole state is sometimes attacked. This kind of wholesale attack is not approved by Manu, the father and lawgiver of the human race. He therefore wanted to stop his grandson Dhruva from continuing to kill the Yaksha citizens who were not offenders. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, entitled Svayambhuva Manu Advises Dhruva Maharaj, Text Number 6. Srila Prabhupada, in this prophetic purport, is explaining the nature of war in this world. According to karmic conditions, if one person creates a great offense, then family, village, sometimes even kingdom has to share the consequences. When that Ramchandra Khan offended Srila Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, not only was his life destroyed, but the entire village he was living in, which was a very affluent, opulent place, it was plundered and everyone suffered. In this case, the Yakshas, obviously, Dhruva Maharaj had his reasons. He was a Mahabhagavat, a great devotee of the Lord, in the role of a king. But because that one Yaksha was a terrorist murderer and killed his brother, he declared war on the entire country of the Yakshas. This is the news of our contemporary times. For this one man who is a known terrorist, what is his name? Osama bin Laden, who was taking shelter of the country of Afghanistan. the United States and America, following in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj, declared war on the whole country. And as Dhruva Maharaj had his weapons, the United States had their weapons, and also brought Afghanistan to its knees until it surrendered. So similarly, the Yakshas are here surrendering. Surrendering means they're willing to accept the authority and the leadership of Dhruva Maharaj and live by his laws. Swayambhuva Manu understood that they were so thoroughly defeated that there was no need to go on destroying them, because in the passion of war, even great souls, they need the association of superiors. Swayambhuva Manu was his grandfather. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was willing to fight and sacrifice his life to uphold the principles of Dharma. Today is a very auspicious day, which happens to be the disappearance day of one of the greatest of our Gaudiya Vaishnav Acharyas. In the spirit of Dhruva Maharaj, he was also a man who was willing to fight and risk and sacrifice his life for eliminating misconception and cheating and establish the true and pure teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Today is Basant Panchami, one of the very holiest days of the year for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It is the appearance day of Srimati Vishnu Priya Devi, Sri Saraswati Puja, the appearance day of Srila Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Srila Raghunandan Thakur, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, and the disappearance day of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We do not have much time, but I would like to speak today, with your permission and the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, something on the tremendous contribution of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. His life is truly an illustrious example of the glorious substance of the Acharyas in the line of Lord Chaitanya. His name is Vishwanath because out of his mercy for all the jiva souls in the entire universe, he showed the true path of bhakti. And he was given the title Chakravarti because he always remained in the circle of great Vaishnavas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur appeared in the district of Murshidabad in a village called Devagram. His father was Ram Narayan Chakravarti. He had two older brothers. The eldest was Ram Bhadra. He was a very, very great scholar of the Vaishnava literatures. He was exemplary in every aspect of his life. very, very deeply enriched with pure bhakti. Rambhadra's younger brother was Raghunath, who was also a very, very great personality. And the youngest brother was Vishwanath. When Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur appeared, right at the moment of his birth, there was a divine effulgence that filled the entire room. Thus, everyone could understand that this was not an ordinary mortal being. This was a special servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His father and mother were very, very highly qualified Brahmins and very wealthy. They had much opulence in their home. But from earliest childhood, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he was completely renounced. Even a little boy, when the other children were playing, he would just want to study Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he would associate with friends, the only thing he wanted to do with them was just discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and have debates about Vaishnava philosophy. But he had such divine characteristics, such humility, such respect, such affection for all, that everyone loved him. The inhabitants of Devagram, they would embrace him. They would never want to let him go. In this way, he charmed their hearts. He began his studies. In his studies, he really excelled. He learned all subjects. However, he mastered the language of Sanskrit. And along with Sanskrit, he was studying the great Vaishnava scriptures. His memory and his realizations at such a young age astounded everyone. He was just a small boy. And a great Digvijay pundit happened to come to Devagram. All the pundits and scholars of the town, they were shaking in fear, because this Digvijay would challenge them, defeat them, and ruin their reputations. But small child, Vishwanath, seeing what damage this Digvijay was doing, he challenged him to debate. And very quickly, totally defeated him. From this point on, Vishwanath was greatly respected and adored by everyone around. When he was very young, his parents became very worried, because he was so renounced. So they decided that before he leaves home, before he's old enough to leave home, we should get him married. So father arranged for him to marry a very beautiful, qualified young girl named Vibhu. Vishwanath, he had to follow what his parents said. So he graciously went through the rituals of the marriage. However, he was so renounced, he just had no attachment or affiliation for that relationship, although he was very respectful. He studied Srimad Bhagavatam under his brother, Rambhadra Chakravarti. And he learned so thoroughly every aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Rambhadra was thinking that I have nothing else I can teach him. but he's so eager to learn. So he sent Vishwanath to another town in the province of Murshidabad called Sayyadabad, where he was to learn under the great, great spiritual master, Krishna Charan Chakravarti. At that time, Krishna Charan Chakravarti was a very old man. He was completely immersed in worshipping of his deity of Madan Mohan. He was very happy to have such a brilliant student as Vishwanath. He taught him very, very deeply the science of bhakti, especially according to the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. After studying and learning so well from his Guru Maharaj, he asked Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti to give him initiation. But because Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti was very old, he had already stopped accepting any formal disciples. So he directed Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to take diksha from one of his disciples, whose name was Radharaman Chakravarti, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur did. The disciplic succession is very important to understand. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted Lokanath Goswami as his disciple. Lokanath Goswami had only one disciple in his whole life, and that was Srila Narottam Das Thakur. When Narottam Das Thakur was preaching on the bank of the Ganges, there was one very, very great scholar, Brahman, top in his class. And he happened to see two young children, Ramakrishna and Hari Rama. They were sons of Brahmins. Actually, their father one time told them that they should go across the river to buy some small buffalo and goat and calves, because Durga Puja was coming up and these calves were to be slaughtered as an offering to Goddess Durga, because he was really a full-fledged Shakti. He worshipped Durga in this way. So they were herding their little buffaloes back, and Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj happened to see them and preach to them. And they let all the calves go, and they became devotees. Today we have very, very special guest, Balabhadra Prabhu and Chaya Devi Mataji, two very senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada. They joined in about 1969, and their daughter Lakshmi Devi, they live at New Vrindavan at the time. And more than anyone else that I know, they have actually given their lives and souls to personally showing the example of cow protection. And you, Prabhupada explained, cow protection means utilizing the bulls or the oxen to plow the fields and allow the cow to take the role of mother, which she is, by giving milk. And as a mother, protecting her and our father, the bull, throughout their lives with great care and affection. They are the ministers of the cow protection ministry of our ISKCON society now. We're so happy that they are here. Let us welcome them to Sri Radha Gopinath. And I have seen with my own eyes, if anyone in Prabhupada's society is not exceedingly carefully taking care of cows, their eyes are upon them. They are the upholders of justice for the rights of those devotees who are not able to speak our language. They are the spokesmen for all cows. Let you go. So, Ram Krishna and Hari Ram, they let their little calves go. Why should they be slaughtered just for our father's superstitious religious beliefs? They became great devotees. Hari Ram was initiated by Ramchandra Kaviraj, and Ramakrishna was initiated by Narottam Das Thakur. Ramakrishna, who was the disciple of Narottam Das Thakur, had a son. His name was Krishna Charan. Now, when Ganga Narayan Chakravarti happened to see how these little boys became such great scholars, such great devotees, in fact, the father was so angry at them, he sent for the biggest pundit to come and defeat them and show that Vaishnavism is just a sentimental, bogus religion. You have to worship Durga if you want to actually be bona fide. And these little children completely defeated them. So Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was thinking, who is this Narottam Das Thakur who could have disciples like this? I've totally wasted my entire life in the pursuit of mundane scholarship. Unless I give my life and surrender to Narottam Das Thakur, my whole life is useless. Just when he was thinking like that, Narottam Das Thakur happened to come to the bank of the Ganges. And he surrendered. This Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was one of the very, very stalwart principal disciples of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He took Sri Krishna Charan, the son of Ramakrishna Acharya, as his own disciple and adopted son. And it was this Sri Krishna Charan, the disciple of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, who initiated Radharaman Chakravarti, who was the spiritual master of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He was fourth in the line after Srila Narottam Das Thakur. After studying, taking initiation, and serving his guru so nicely, he began to teach Sanskrit in Radharaman Chakravarti school. Such incredible teacher of Sanskrit. The reason why he considered so important for devotees to learn Sanskrit at that time was because the Vaishnav Siddhanta was so much forgotten and being manipulated and exploited by unruly people. So he believed that he should train a class of people who know Sanskrit so well that they could actually defend Vaishnavism and the basis of the Shastra. So all of his teachings were according to the conclusions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Rupa Goswami. After some time, it is explained he was home at Devagram, and his brother Ram Bhadra who was also a teacher of his in Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, "I have a question for you." Rambhadra said, "What is the question?" "First, you should recite the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you can ask your question." So he recited the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, "Now will you answer my question?" His elder brother said, "We should recite it again." So he recited all 18,000 slokas again. Then he asked question. He said, "I would like to go to Vrindavan." He said, "Yes. Wholeheartedly, I bless you. Go to Vrindavan." Krishna Charan, Radharaman Chakravarti, Krishna Charan Chakravarti, they all instructed Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to go to Vrindavan. He even received the blessings of his mother. And then he traveled to Sri Brajbhumi. He traveled throughout the Brajbhumi. All the 12 forests, he performed parikrama. And ultimately, he came to Sri Radha Kund. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wants us to understand what was the condition of Vrindavan when Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had arrived. It was in a state of devastation. When Lord Chaitanya came to Vrindavan, it was a very simple forest. It was practically unknown except to those who carefully understood the holy scriptures. He personally discovered Sri Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. Then he sent Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami to Vrindavan to excavate it, to make it a glorious place of pilgrimage for people from all over the world to come and experience the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. He wanted them to construct temples, to show deity worship, to show the ideal life of how to live in Vrindavan in the renounced order by their own example. He wanted them to extract the essence of all scriptures, pure devotional service, which they did. In Vrindavan, the six Goswamis lived. Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. After Rupa and Sanatan left, Sri Jiva Goswami became the leader of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. How Gaudiya Vaishnavism was flourishing at that time. The time of Sri Jiva Goswami, temples were being built, beautiful temples, excavations of holy places. So many people were coming. Such incredible association of great souls was there. Such kirtan, such harikatha was everywhere. And the Brijavasis were in complete bliss because their beloved Radha and Krishna was being glorified in a supreme fashion. Shyamananda Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, and Srinivas Acharya, under the directions of Sri Jiva Goswami, expanded the glories of Vrindavan in pure devotional service throughout Bengal and Orissa. When we see Vrindavan now, everywhere you go, practically we see these ancient ruins. But we look what it must have been like when these buildings, when these temples, when these dharamshalas were new. All hand-carved stone, beautiful bathing ghats. At that time, Vrindavan was perhaps the most beautifully developed place in the entire world, with the most beautiful temples and the most elegant deity worship. However, Samrat Aurangzeb was extremely envious to see how Vaishnavism was flourishing. So he sent his armies to destroy the culture of Vrindavan. He went to Mathura and completely demolished the temple of Keshavaji, installed by Vajranav, that deity, somehow or other, just before Aurangzeb had arrived with his armies, that deity was secretly taken away to Rajasthan. But the temple was destroyed. A masjid was built in its place. That was the birthplace of Krishna. Next, he wanted to destroy Govindadev temple. But the king of Jaipur, he was a great devotee and a follower of Sri Rupa Goswami. So therefore, he helped to arrange all the principal deities of Vrindavan to be taken out so they would not be harmed. When these terrorist soldiers saw that the deities were being removed, they wanted to destroy them. They put such restrictions in Vrindavan. All the borders and entering points of Vrindavan, Gokul, Mahavan, later on near Kamyavan, they put huge forces of guards to make sure no one could escape. And they destroyed temples. They murdered pujaris. They flagrantly raped innocent Brijavasi women. Any sacred places, if they didn't want to put the time and energy into destroying it completely, they defaced it in so many ways. They were real terrorists. And everybody in Vrindavan was innocent. They had no armies. They were all devotees. So practically, the worship of Radha and Krishna had to be done underground in Vrindavan. Can you imagine? And great personalities were being killed, somehow escaped so they could worship Krishna freely. It was devastated. At the same time, Sahajiyas, who were cheap imitators of true bhakti, they became prominent. And the whole real Siddhanta, or eternal truths of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, were practically completely obscured and compromised. And there was a caste of Goswamis who claimed themselves to be the real protectors of religion because of their birthright. Nityananda Prabhu had a son named Birachandra. And the descendants of the children of Birachandra claimed that only we can be acharyas because of our bloodline connected to Nityananda Prabhu. But at that time, most of them were living immoral lives without any real conception of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And then there was the three rejected sons of Advaitacharya. They created their line, Advaitabhams. And they were simply cheating people in the name of their birthright. This was all rampant. This was practically all there was in Vrindavan. Fear, devastation, and deviation. This was the Vrindavan Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur entered into. But he saw the essence. He saw the eternal Leela of Radha and Krishna. And he understood the importance of Vrindavan according to Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis. So he was willing to fearlessly risk his life to establish the glory of Vrindavan again. And there was no person in the entire Braj Bhumi who was there to help him when he came. Such a mission. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that he was living in caves near Govardhan. He would do his bhajan at Yavat, the home of Srimati Radharani. And finally he came to Sri Radha Kund. When he was there, he entered into the association of one very great devotee. His name was Mukunda Das. Mukunda Das lived at the time of Raghunath Das Goswami and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He was a disciple of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He would do bhajan and study together with Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He was present as he was writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. Mukunda Das was very deeply learned. He was merciful and compassionate to every living being. He was so humble. He had such a genuine divine service attitude. He just wanted to serve the great souls, expecting nothing in return. In this way, he became very, very dear to the heart of all the Vaishnavas. After Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami left the planet, Mukunda Das was very much aggrieved in separation. It was about that time that one very, very great devotee entered into Vrindavan. Her name was Krishnapriya. Krishnapriya was the daughter of the great disciple of Narottam Das Thakur, Ganganarayan Chakravarti. Ganganarayan's wife was named Vishnupriya, and they had a daughter who they named Krishnapriya. She had no material attachments. She was only attached to pure devotional service to Sri Radha Gopinath. So at a young age, with the blessings of her parents, she left home and went to Vrindavan. And she toured all the 12 forests of Vrindavan, performing her bhajan and her kirtan, constantly praying for the mercy of the Lord. And she came to Sri Radha Kund. By this time she was older. she became so dear to the Brijavasis. Her example of worship was such an exalted platform that the Brijavasis gave her the name Radha Kund Vasi Thakurani. She studied under Mukunda Das. One time, Mukunda Das became very sick due to some disease in his stomach. And Krishna Priya Thakurani, she prepared food for him, prasad, and she cared for him just like mother. He was so grateful to her. He glorified her to all the Vaishnavas and said, she is so merciful. She is so kind. She has such love. She treats me as her own son. Just when Mukunda Das was about to leave this world, he gave the most precious possession of his life to Krishna Priya. Please listen carefully as I tell you what he offered to her. If you hear this story carefully, you will never take birth again in this material world. There was a sannyasi named Mukundananda Saraswati who traveled throughout Vrindavan. And he came back to Puri. He offered Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a Govardhan Shila. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu accepted that Shila as Krishna's own body. He worshipped it with such love. Sometimes he would keep it hanging around his neck. In the ecstasy of love, he would sometimes place the Shila on his forehead, sometimes on his eyes. It was always on his heart. It's said that he constantly bathed that Govardhan Shila with the tears of his love. It was the love of Sri Radharani pouring out as she saw her beloved Shamsundar in the form of Sri Giriraj. After many years of worshipping Sri Giriraj in this way, he offered this Govardhan Shila to Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was the very crest jewel of renunciation and devotion. By seeing his humility and his love and his complete detachment from material life, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart melted and he gave him his most precious possession. He gave him Govardhan Shila and a Gunjamala. Raghunath Das Goswami considered that by giving me this Govardhan Shila, he has given me home at Govardhan Hill. And by giving me the Gunjamala, he has given me shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Radharani. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally instructed Raghunath Das how to worship the Govardhan Shila with tulsi leaves and tulsi manjaris and water and chandan. Lord Chaitanya even arranged first class sweetmeats to be purchased from Jagannath Maha and offered to the Govardhan Shila. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world with Swarup Damodar Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, taking his Giriraj Shila, he went to Vrindavan. There he lived in the association of Sri Rupa and Sanatana. And on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, he worships Sri Giriraj. Before Sri Raghunath Das Goswami left this world, he entrusted the worship of Govardhan Shila to Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. In the last days of his life, he entrusted that Govardhan Shila to his most intimate disciple, Mukunda Das. Just before Mukunda Das left this world, he presented that most sacred form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Srimati Krishnapriya Thakurani, the daughter of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. And she worshipped it with great love. At that time there was a very well-known Vaishnav. His name was Rupa Kaviraj. Rupa Kaviraj was a disciple of Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti. That means he was the godbrother of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Diksha Guru. He traveled with Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti to Vrindavan and went to all the different forests and holy places of Braj Bhumi. He learned from his guru so well. His guru was so pleased with him. He actually awarded him various titles of respect. And he told him he should stay at Radha Kund and study under Mukunda Das. Mukunda Das was so pleased with him. Rupa Kaviraj became such a proficient lecturer on Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was also manifesting symptoms of ecstatic love for Krishna. One day, he was giving a class. And Krishnapriya Thakurani, she was very eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from him. This incident took place soon after Mukunda Das left this world. On banks of Sri Radha Kund, he was just preparing to give his lecture. And Krishnapriya Thakurani came in. He offered no respect whatsoever to her. After all, he was in the renounced order of life. He was a great scholar. Everyone was coming to hear him speak. So he neglected her. But she could not care the least. She was just happy to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. She was not concerned with respect. She just wanted to serve by hearing. So he started to speak. And as he was speaking, he became very upset seeing Krishnapriya. And right in front of the whole assembly of devotees, he began to chastise her. He stopped his lecture and said, "Can I ask you a question?" She said, "I am your servant. How can I serve you?" He said, "Can anyone do two things at the same time with fixed consciousness? I don't believe it's possible. I'm speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, and your lips and tongue are chanting the holy names while I'm speaking. Can you tell me honestly that you can hear? Why are you doing this?" Even though she was treated so rudely, with great humility, gracious heart, she responded. She said, "Actually, it is the habit of my tongue to constantly be moving with the name of Krishna on it. I can't stop it. Day and night, my tongue is moving with the mantra, with the Maha Mantra. However, I'm silent, and the chanting of the name with my tongue does not in any way disturb my full concentration on the nectaring narration of Srimad Bhagavatam that you are giving. I'm hearing very nicely. When she said that, he became infuriated. A rage of anger as he insulted her. At that moment, Rupa Kaviraj fell down. Although he was actually showing symptoms of ecstatic love, he was personally trained and educated by the greatest acharyas. Still, because of his false pride, he offended a great devotee. At that moment, his whole consciousness changed. He became inimical to his own guru, offensive to Vaishnavas. The luster of his body just disappeared. And he concocted his own philosophy in order to justify his unethical behavior. He created a philosophy where he taught that Vidhimarg is bogus, that following rules and regulations in the name of bhakti is not to be done by intelligent people who actually want to love Krishna. We should reject the path of Vaidhi Bhakti and go directly to Raga Bhakti, spontaneous love. So he was speaking the highest, most intimate, esoteric, spiritual pastimes of conjugal love. And he was not teaching discipline or any rules or regulations. So therefore he and his followers simply became debauchees. But because he was a student of such great souls as Mukunda Das and Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti, and because he was so learned in the scriptures, and because for so long he was so highly respected by everyone, he got a huge following. And as he became more and more famous with his concoctions, he became more and more envious and offensive to true Vaishnavas. The scriptures tell us this is the result of offending Vaishnavas. He started his own apasampradaya, claiming that he was the true follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is declared to be of the Atibati Sampradaya, one of the Sahajya groups. And do you want to know something? To this day, at Radhakund, various parts of Vrindavan, as well as in the world, there are still followers of this Atibati Sampradaya who still worship Rupa Kaviraj as the first and foremost of all the descendants of Lord Chaitanya. Because of his offenses, he contracted leprosy within his body. His digestion completely failed. Couldn't eat. Couldn't sleep. He was utterly miserable. His luster just vanished. he came to such a weakened, helpless state that he went back to Bengal to his guru's ashram, Sri Krishna Charan, and presented himself before his guru as if he was completely normal, perfect disciple. Actually, Rupa Kaviraj was formally initiated by the daughter of Srinivasacharya, Hemalata Thakurani. And Hemalata Thakurani, seeing his behavior, rejected him and banished him from Vaishnava society. But he had his own society. He didn't care. So when he went back to his Shiksha Guru, Sri Krishna Charan, pretending that he was such a nice disciple, all the people around, they were all talking about him. So he was, wherever he went, he was humiliated and he was suffering. So ultimately he could not tolerate it and he would not beg forgiveness from anyone. So he went to Orissa, to a village called Kuriagram, and there he suffered miserably until he died. He became a ghost. And anyone at that time who would offend Vaishnavas, he would go and haunt them. This was actually the situation. Good Vaishnavas, if they committed an offense, all of a sudden, Rupa Kaviraj's ghost would haunt them and would terribly exploit them. And then they'd say, "This is horrible, I must have offended a Vaishnava," and they'd go and beg apologies. Then the ghost would go away. So this is the exalted position of Krishna Priya. When Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was living at Radhakund, seeing that he was the most devoted and qualified Vaishnav, Krishna Priya Devi entrusted that sacred Govardhan Shila to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he graciously worshipped that Shila for the rest of his life with great love. Sometimes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also lived in Vrindavan, at the place where Radha Gokulananda temple is now. One day, a very, very historical incident took place. There was a brahmachari who had a very pure heart, and he worshipped a deity of the name Gokulananda. He traveled to all the holy places in India and ultimately came to Vrindavan. He was living in Mathura, worshipping Gokulananda with pure unalloyed devotion. One day when he was sleeping, Gokulananda appeared to him in a dream and said, "I'm very satisfied with your devotional service. However, there's a great Vaishnav living in Vrindavan at this time. His name was Vishwanath Chakravarti. I instruct you to entrust my worship to him." So the brahmachari, as soon as he woke up, he took his bath, and along with the deity of Gokulananda, walked along the Jamuna from Mathura to Vrindavan. There he approached Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and explained that the Lord has appeared and told me that you should worship him in this form. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was living such a totally renounced life, just doing madhukari, sleeping under trees. He was living so simple. He said, "How can I worship this deity? I don't have any temple. I don't have any income. I don't have anything." Said, "You You continue your worship. Bring him back to Mathura. You're giving him such nice devotion. There's nothing I can give him. I give you my blessings to continue your worship of Sri Gokulananda. So he went back to Mathura. That night he had another dream. Gokulananda appeared to him and told him that I really want Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to worship me. So you go back and once again offer me to him. And I will appear tonight to him in a dream to order him to accept me. So meanwhile in Vrindavan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is resting and Gokulananda appeared to him in his dream and said, "Oh Vishwanath, oh Hari Ballabha, I want you to worship me. I'll be satisfied with whatever you give. Don't have any fears. Please accept my worship." He was astonished by this dream. And as soon as he woke up, there was the brahmachari with Gokulananda. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur accepted him. And he worshipped Sri Gokulananda along with Sri Govardhan Srila in ecstatic devotion and love. He would chant, he would dance, he would cry. The symptoms of sattvika bhava were manifested decorating his body. Then he got a letter from his spiritual master, Sri Radharaman Chakravarti, telling him to return to Godadesh. He returned, and his Guru Maharaj told him the controversial situation that was taking place. That his wife, Vibhu, the only time he ever looked at her was in the marriage ceremony. That she was lonely. And although they were married very young, her parents were supposed to take care of her until he grew up. But now he was grown up, but he was in Vrindavan. So the parents were very upset. And they were putting heavy pressure on Radharaman Chakravarti. That he's your disciple, you're responsible. Look at our daughter, look at her situation, bring him back. It's not easy having disciples. So he called him back and he said, "Actually, what they're saying is reasonable. You should go back and at least spend one night with your wife. She was so beautiful, so charming, so chaste, such an ocean of good qualities that everyone in the family, if he just spends one night with her, naturally he will want to stay with her." So that night he was alone in the room with Vibhu, his wife. And all night long he lectured to her on Srimad Bhagavatam. And the conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, to loudly chant the holy names of Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. By the time of sunrise, his wife was so purified and so renounced that she gave him blessings to return to Vrindavan. And that was the extent of their marriage. But while he was in Godadesh, he rendered very loving personal service to his spiritual master. His spiritual master gave him a Srimad Bhagavatam and told him to make another copy. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he would go into the countryside and he would sit to copy the 18,000 slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. Great miracles took place at this time. This was the summertime when the sun was scorching with heat. But any place that Vishwanath Chakravarti sat down to copy the Bhagavatam, miraculously a cloud would appear, a dark cloud, to completely protect him from the sun. In the summer, the whole sky was cloudless, but there would be one cloud wherever Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur sat. Before that happened, before the summer, it was the rainy season. And wherever it would rain, a great miracle would take place. There's an incident explained by Narahari Chakravarti. He describes how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur would be so absorbed in writing Srimad Bhagavatam that he just didn't even know anything about the external circumstances around him. He would just be completely immersed in Srimad Bhagavatam. So one time it was pouring torrents of rain. And one very wealthy zamindar, he was being carried on a palanquin. And he had a big umbrella over him. And he happened to pass by the place where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was writing Bhagavatam. He looked. And he saw that the rain was pouring down all around him on all sides, but not a drop was touching him. So the zamindar, he was so struck with wonder, he got down from his palanquin and offered his dandavat obeisances, and then got up and told everyone in the town that this person is a great soul. This is what I have seen. So Vishwanath Chakravarti, he finished his day's work. He didn't even know it rained that day. He came back and everybody was glorifying him in the town. And he was saying, what are you talking about? I don't know. It wasn't raining today, was it? Because he was being glorified, he felt very embarrassed and very shy. Because great souls do not like to be glorified. They simply like to serve and glorify others. While Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was in Sayyadabad with his Guru Maharaj, in that area of Bengal, Godadesh, he met one Vipra Jagannath, very, very great devotee. He preached to Vipra Jagannath and trained him in Krishna consciousness and made him his own disciple. Now this Vipra Jagannath happened to be the son of Hari Ramacharya, the brother of Ramakrishna Acharya. So he was a very great soul. But he surrendered to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He presented himself before the Thakur as the most fallen, lowly of all souls. So he became one of the most intimate, loving disciples of Srila Vishwanath. And the son of Vipra Jagannath was Narahari Chakravarti, the author of Bhakti Ratnakar, Narottam Vilas, some of the most priceless, important of all Vedic literatures. After some time of teaching and preaching in Sayadabad, Gaudadesh, his Guru Maharaj instructed him to return to Vrindavan and remain there for his life. But while he was in Sayadabad, some of his greatest contributions to Vaishnava literature were composed. He wrote the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu, a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami. He wrote Ujjvala Nilamani Kiran, a summary study of Rupa Goswami's Ujjvala Nilamani, which is the graduate study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he wrote the Bhagavatam Karan. Then with the blessings of his spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, he returned to Vrindavan. He began living in a cave at Govardhan Hill. Completely absorbed in bhajan, constantly praying to Krishna, constantly meditating on Krishna, constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. At that time, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a dream, in his beautiful golden form, and told him that you should return to Radhakund and you should compose great literatures establishing the true teachings of Rupa Goswami, which are coming from my heart. So at Radhakund, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur became immersed in composing Vaishnava literatures. While he was there, there were so many deviations he had to deal with. His headquarters was Radhakund, but actually he was nourishing the whole Braj Bhumi. He was training people in the proper conception of bhakti. He was having people actually re-establish the lost holy places. He single-handedly created an entire spiritual renaissance through the whole Vrindavan. And the Brijavasis, they just loved him with their heart and soul. They worshipped him. They honored him. They wanted to serve him. All over Vrindavan, everyone was talking about the glories of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In fact, our acharyas explain that he was an incarnation of Srila Rupa Goswami. One of the biggest challenges he had was refuting Rupa Kaviraj's influence. Most people's understanding of Lord Chaitanya's teachings was according to him. He was teaching such deviations. There's no need to chant the holy names, either loud or soft. He should simply meditate on the intimate leelas of the Lord through smaranam. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur said that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he smashed his teachings. In his commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, he specifically smashes and attacks the teachings of Rupa Kaviraj. And he did so in his lectures until he practically erased that influence from the earth. And there were also the Goswamis. Goswami caste, they were very upset with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur because he was teaching Lord Chaitanya's real principles. That anybody, whoever you may be, if you actually live by the teachings and repeat the possible message, you can be a guru, you can be an acharya. In fact, the Goswami influence at that time was so contaminating that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur purposely did not take the title of Goswami. Even though he was crest jewel of all persons in the renounced order of life, the name Goswami was being so abused and misused by unqualified people that he would not accept it. He didn't want to be lumped in amongst them. He wanted to teach that we shouldn't be attached to a big title, we should be attached to the proper understanding of devotional service. Another great challenge was the Swakīya Rasvādas. They propounded that this idea of Parakīya Rasa is simply an abomination. It's disgusting. Why would Krishna be having his lila with Radharani if she's someone else's wife? So they preached against this and preached that Radharani and Krishna were formally, officially married. And in the basis of one particular segment of Jiva Goswami's, one of his books, they established their authority. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was such a scholar of the scriptures. He quoted profusely from the rest of Jiva Goswami's books, from Rupa Goswami's books, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Padma Purana, from the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to establish that the Parakīya Rasa is the purest, highest, intimate relationship of the spiritual world. So because they could not defeat him, they decided the only recourse is to kill him. We cannot stand in his presence. So they made a plot to murder him. Just at dawn, when the sun is just rising, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur would come out of his bhajan kutir on the banks of Radhakund, and he would do parikrama, absorbed in worship. So these pandits, they had deadly weapons hidden, and they were waiting for him in one particular kunja where he would daily walk absorbed in meditation on the holy names of Radha and Krishna. Their plan was to assassinate him. They waited and waited. They kept waiting, but he didn't come. Then they saw this beautiful young cowherd girl, a Brijabasi. She was with two or three friends, and she was picking flowers. After they waited a long time, the leader of the pandits asked this little girl, "Did you see that great saint, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur?" Because they knew all the Brijabasis loved him. They know him. She said, "Yes, I saw him. But he went away. He's not here anymore." They continued picking flowers. And they looked at her. And her glances were so enchanting. And the way she moved was so graceful. And her beauty was so charming that actually their hearts melted upon seeing the beauty of this little girl, so much so that they forgot what they even came there for. And all their animosity toward Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur disappeared. And they asked her, "Who are you?" And she said, I'm a coward girl. I'm a maidservant of Sri Radharani. My Swamini, she has told me that I should come here to pick flowers. Because right now, she's engaged in household duties by her mother-in-law, Jatila, in Jawat. But later on today, Jatila is going to send her to Suryakund to meet Shyam Sundar. And I'm picking extra flowers for her to make a garland to give to Shyam Sundar at Suryakund today. Then she disappeared. And they were struck. How? All of a sudden, she just, right before their eyes, she just disappeared. They were looking around, and they saw right in the place she was standing was Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. And they realized that that was actually Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur manifesting his swarup, his eternal siddha deha form in the lila of Radha and Krishna as a manjari. So they offered their prostrated obeisances to him and they surrendered to him and begged forgiveness. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he said, if you want, you can kill me. I don't mind. But before you kill me, answer one question. He was laughing. So what is your question? Srimati Radharani, she lives, according to your understanding, in the town of Barsana, in the home of Sri Brishabhanu and Kirtida. Is that correct? They said, yes. And Shyam Sundar, he lives in Nandagaon, in the house of Nanda and Jashoda. They said, yes, that is correct. So my question is, what is the name of the village between Nandagaon and Barsana? They said, Sanket. Everyone knows Sanket is the village. Sanket? He said, well, what happens in Sanket? Everyone knows that Radha and Krishna meet in Sanket. He said, if Radha and Krishna are officially married, then why do they have to meet in Sanket? Sri Radhika, at any time she wants, she can just go to Nandagaon and knock on the door and say, Nanda Yashoda, I want to see my husband. But she will never do that. They meet secretly in Sanket. The existence of this village of Sanket is proof, evidence of Parakya Ras as being supreme. So with tears of ecstasy in their hearts, they accepted, they surrendered, they became the initiated disciples of Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, and then they preached all over Brajadham to the other Swakiyavads about the glories of Parakya Ras. One time Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur was writing a book called the Mantrata Deepika, an explanation, an elucidation on the Kam Gayatri Mantra. He was very, very deep research of various scriptures. As he was researching from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Madhya Lila and Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, he found something that confused him terribly. He describes the Kam Gayatri Mantra as having 24.5 syllables, each syllable representing one of the moons on Krishna's body. Now he also read in so many other scriptures that Krishna has 25 moons on his body. His face, his two cheeks are like two moons. His tilak, his forehead, his hands, and then his 10 fingers and his 10 toes all represent moons. So he was thinking, I've read that Krishna has 25 moons on his body. And besides that, when I count the syllable of Kam Gayatri, there's 25 syllables. He counted again and again and again and tried to somehow or other justify, what is this half of a syllable? I've never heard of a half of a syllable before. So he was in great distress. This is how seriously he was reading the scriptures. He was thinking, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is the empowered representative of Veda Vyas to read, to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the most important of all literatures of Lord Chaitanya's life and teachings. He was empowered by Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and all the Vaishnavas. How could he make such a flagrant mistake as this? No, it's not possible. Such a Mahabhagavat cannot make a mistake like this. But at the same time, I can find no evidence anywhere that it's right. So he went deep into research. He started studying Puranas. He started studying the books of Rupa Goswami. He studied Harinam Amritya Vyakarana by Jiva Goswami. He couldn't find anywhere this idea of a half of a syllable. He came to the point where he was so much upset. He read the Radha Sahasranam. And there it talks about how Radha and Krishna each have 25 moons on their bodies. And then he was really upset. So he was thinking, if I can't defend Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and understand really what he's saying, if I can't understand this, I can't understand the mantra, and this mantra represents the supreme, most worshipable of all deities, Srimati Radharani. It's representing her love. How will I ever know her if I can't understand this? He fell into such an ocean of lamentation that after studying all the scriptures he knew and finding no solution, he decided to fast until death on the banks of Radhakund. No more eating, no more sleeping. He was a serious student of the scriptures. So that night, just past midnight, he happened to kind of fall asleep. He dozed off. What a dream manifested before him. Srimati Radhika appeared to him with her unlimited golden effulgence, casting the most loving, ecstatic glance upon him. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his dream, his hairs were standing on end, his body was pulsating with ecstasy, perfection of his life. He fell at the feet of Srimati Radharani. And Radharani said, "Oh Vishwanath, oh Hari Ballava, do not lament. Do not feel disturbed. Because, after all, whatever Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying is completely correct. And I will tell you why. Because, according to the scriptures, Krishna's 25 moons. However, his forehead is shaped like a half moon. It says in scriptures moon, but actually its form is that of a half moon. And according to the scripture, you should look at this. The Varnagam Bashvadi.
And you will find there that when the syllable vi is followed by the syllable ya, it is a half syllable. And this conjunction is found in the Kam Gayatri Mantra. So therefore, what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying is perfectly correct, that Kam Gayatri Mantra is of 24 and a half syllables. Now you research that scripture, see for yourself, worship me, and spread the glories of my love through your literatures for the welfare of the whole world. Then she disappeared. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was in such a state of spiritual joy, the ultimate perfection of his life. He had the darshan of Sri Radharani. He immediately went to that scripture, the Varnagambashwadi, and there he found, when the consonant follows ya, it is half syllable. Harivo! He was so happy. He composed his mantrata Deepika. And he was thinking, through that crisis that almost ended my very life, I received the ultimate treasure of Srimati Radharani's darshan. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. He lived until his very old age, worshipping Sri Gokulananda and Giriraj Shila, absorbed in writing books. At that time, a very historical incident took place in Jaipur. The king of Jaipur, Jai Singh, he was following in parampara the teachings of Rupa Goswami. And he, in his own king's palace, he had constructed a temple for Rupa Goswami's deity of Govinda Dev. And the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the descendants of Lord Chaitanya, mostly Bengali, they were performing all the puja there. And that was the most prestigious temple in all of Jaipur. We know that when Janava Devi came to Vrindavan and saw Govindaji, Gopinath and Madan Mohan, she very much wanted deities made for them. So it was her wish that the deity of Radharani stand on the left side of Lord Sri Krishna. And ultimately, the son of King Prataparudra, Purushottam Jana, he sent the deity from Jagannath Puri of Srimati Radharani, and she was installed on the left side of Sri Govinda Dev. Now, in a place called Golta, near Jaipur, it was a headquarters of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. And they were very, very much upset. These particular people, they were thinking that because the pujaris of Govinda Dev are worshipping in the king's palace, therefore they're getting so much facility, so much recognition, and they get to worship the deity of Govinda Dev. We don't. So they came up with an argument and they spread it everywhere. They began to debate against the authority of having a deity of Srimati Radharani. They were saying, the previous acharyas, which deities have Radharani standing next to her? And besides that, Vishnu Purana, there's no mention of Srimati Radharani. Mahabharata, there's no mention of Srimati Radharani. As Krishna's eternal consort. And Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't find anything about Srimati Radharani. Therefore, this whole idea is bogus. It must be stopped. It's a deviation from the Vedas. And they had such strong arguments based on scriptures. So the king, Jai Singh, he was a devotee of Sri Radharani. But he couldn't stand before them. And the simple Bengali pujaris, they could not present their arguments before him. So the king actually, forced by them, took Radharani off the altar, away from Govinda, and worshipped him secretly in his palace. Worshipped her secretly in his palace. When this news came to Vrindavan, the Vrindavan Gaudiya Vaishnavas were shocked. They were devastated that our whole sampradaya is being attacked. And not only that, that Radharani has been taken away from Govinda. How could we live? So Jai Singh, he wanted Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to defend them. So he sent a message to Vrindavan. And all the Brijavasis and all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they all came to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur with the message of King Jai Singh and said, you have to do something. You have to go there and defeat them. But this was the last stages of his manifested life. He was very old. And he said that for me and my invalidity and old age to travel to Jaipur, I will not be able to live. But my disciple, Baladev Vidyabhushan, he will go on my behalf. Baladev Vidyabhushan was from Orissa. He was initiated in the Madhva Sampradaya. And he was a great scholar and a great devotee. Very learned and very well loved and respected. When he was living in Jagannath Puri, he met one great Vaishnava named Radha Damodar Goswami. And there he learned about the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And he understood this is the crescendo, the ultimate summit of all the realizations of Madhvacharya's teachings. So he became a great, great student of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. When he came to Vrindavan, he joined up with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And it was actually the two of them that revived the entire culture of Vrindavan. It was the two of them that reestablished the glory of Vrindavan. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instructed as well as empowered Baladev Vidyabhushan. And he sent one other disciple named Krishna Dev Sarvabhauma to go to Galta to defend the true teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So they went, and the king organized in Galta a big debate. There was the greatest of the scholars of the Ramanuja line and the Ramanandi line. And Baladev Vidyabhushan, from the scriptures of the Padma Purana, he unveiled the intimate secrets of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Brihad Naradiya Purana, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, all of these great scriptures describing the supreme glory of Srimati Radharani. They were totally defeated. But they had one argument which was very difficult to overcome. They said, you're saying all these things and we can't argue with you.
were defeated. However, you are not in a bona fide sampradaya, therefore we cannot accept anything you're saying. But what do you mean we're not in bona fide sampradaya? Because for the authority of any sampradaya, there has to be their evidence that is proved according to Vedanta Sutra. Ramanujacharya wrote, Madhvacharya wrote, all the great acharyas of every sampradaya have given. Where is your evidence according to Vedanta Sutra? Baladeva Vidyabhushan understood that Lord Chaitanya taught Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, and all others that the ultimate commentary of Vedanta Sutra, written by the author himself, Vedavyasa, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's no need for a separate commentary of Vedanta Sutra. All of the great acharyas in the line of Lord Chaitanya made their commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is commentary of Vedanta Sutra. But they would not accept this. They said, we will accept defeat. And we will accept everything you say only when you show us a valid commentary of the Brahma Sutras. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan went to Govinda Temple and he prayed to Sri Govinda Dev, please speak to me. And Govinda Dev narrated to him his own commentary of Vedanta Sutra. As Baladeva Vidyabhushan wrote it, constantly meditating on the lotus feet of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his guru. And he named that commentary Govinda Bhasya. He presented that commentary to the Ramanandis and Ramanuja line. And those pundits, upon reading it, they simply applauded in great joy. We have never seen such scholarship. We have never seen such clear explanation of the highest principles of bhakti. This was a great victory for the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan gave all credit and glory to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur because he simply repeated his teachings. From that day on, sometimes Govinda is called Vijay Govinda, victorious. And Radharani was brought back to the side of Govinda Dev. When Vishwanath Chakravarti was told that Radharani was separated from Govinda Dev, he laughed. Everyone else was practically hysterical in fear and terror that they separated Radharani from Govinda Dev. But he laughed. He said, yes, she is performing her Man Leela. She is angry at Krishna, and therefore she separated from him. But the Man Leela always, from Vipralamba Sambhog, will always, she will come back. Just wait and see. So, for Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, on one level, he was defending the principles like a warrior through Baladeva Vidyabhushan. But internally, he was doing it all just to break Radharani's man and bring her back to Krishna by her sweet will. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote over 40 books. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that many of them have been lost. His writings were so incredible. One time he took some notes on Srimad Bhagavatam, and they were lost. And one devotee was at Manasiganga, and he was in ecstasy, and he fell in Manasiganga and was underwater for 3 days. And then he came to the surface and he was carrying this piece of paper, which was the notes of Srimad Bhagavatam by Vishwanath Chakravarti that long before, somehow or other, fell to the bottom of Manasaganga, and it wasn't even wet. All the writing was perfectly clear. That's how Krishna protected and empowered this great Acharya. Some of his most important contributions are the Saratha Darshani, which is his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Saratha Varshani, his commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam is so illustrious that it is the ultimate standard of all commentaries amongst our acharyas from that time. We find our beloved Srila Prabhupada continuously citing the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur from his Bhagavad Gita as well as his Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, how Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has influenced our lives is explained by Srila Prabhupada in many ways. When Srila Prabhupada was living in his vanaprast life, he was always meditating on the instruction of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to take the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and spread them throughout the world in the English language. But how was it possible? He had no funds. Gaudiya Math was very much disunified. They were not in any position to help him. He had nothing. He knew no one. But then he was studying the Bhagavad Gita commentary, the Saratha Varshani by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And in relation to that verse, Vyavashayatmakabud here, Ekeha Kurunandana, Buhushaka Yanantashta Budhayo Vyavashayanam. That one who is on this path is resolute in purpose, his aim is one. Those who are not on this path, their intelligence is many-branched. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, what this means is one must make the order of the spiritual master his life and soul. Srila Prabhupada told us it was on the strength of the conviction he derived from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's words that he was willing to go on that Jaladuta and make the order of his guru his life and soul. Srila Prabhupada established as a standard in every one of his temples all over the world that the most important time of the day, Mangalarti, we begin by singing Shri Gurudev Astakam by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in one book he wrote, Gurudev Astakam, Prayers of Love to His Spiritual Master. He wrote the Param Guru Devastakam, Prayers of Love to His Param Guru. And he also wrote a beautiful Astakam and prayers to His Param Guru. Establishing in such a sweet, loving, and deep manner the glories of Guru Parampara. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur calls Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur the crest jewel of the crest jewel guardian of Vaishnavism. The most super excellent
scholar, one who dived so very, very deep into the most intimate details of Rasik Bhakti. His commentaries on Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami's books, including Srimad, he made commentary in Brihad Bhagavatamrita as well, were so lucid and so simple to understand, even for common people. Some of his books were of the highest level for the Paramhamsas. It explains he took the six Goswami's books and simplified and just expanded like someone fluffs out cotton to make it bigger. He is an eternal associate, an eternal maidservant of Srimati Radha, who has descended into this world, especially to restore and expand the glories of Vrindavan Bhakti. On the banks of Sri Radha Kund, in a very old age, on the fifth day of the light moon in the month of Magh, Basant Panchami, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur departed from this mortal world to re-enter into the eternal lila of Sri Sri Radharani and Sri Gokulananda in the spiritual world of Goloka. But his books, the example of his life, and the great acharyas that have been nourished and inspired by him always remain in this world as a great light, as a great hope, and as a great source of spiritual inspiration. On this day, let us offer our most humble obeisances at the lotus feet of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and let us pray for his mercy that we may truly surrender to the highest ideal of being the servant of the servant of his servants. Let us pray at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, who has given us the mercy of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who has connected us to all these great acharyas in our line. The more we understand who are the personalities of our Guru Parampara, the more we are struck with wonder, and the more our heart melts in gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for giving us this connection. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vitai Gopimanandi. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.